We have the lovely Caroline Cooper from Naturally Loyal in the studio, who's going to talk to us about all sorts of things, but more importantly, how to keep customer loyalty. Caroline, good afternoon.
Hi, Danny.
Caroline, tell me a little bit about how you got to where you are now. What's your background?
Right. Well, my background is 27 years in hospitality and tourism, and a lot of what I did was leadership development, and I was been working on my own for 6 or 7 years in that area, and then 3 years ago I met up with somebody who was a marketer, and we ended up writing a book together, and that's how I initially got into the marketing side of things. And more recently I've realised that everything that I talk about isn't just relevant to hospitality and tourism businesses, it's relevant to any business.
Well, retaining customers is just absolutely key to any business, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Small or large.
Yeah, and I think that the cost of acquiring a new customer is so much, and what a lot of businesses don't necessarily think about what that's costing them, opposed to keeping hold of the customers that they've got. So the more that people can keep hold of their existing customers, give them a great experience, which means that invariably they're going to spend a little bit more on each visit, they're more likely to come back. And what's just as important is that word of mouth, that recommendation.
It's also about making your customers feel special, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And that when there's so much competition out there, if you look at a lot of businesses, on paper, they look very similar. So if you can give somebody that wow experience, just that little bit extra that your competitor isn't, then that in itself is going to make you stand out, and far more likely then that somebody's going to want to come back to you rather than jump ship and go elsewhere.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about the book that you wrote.
The book that I wrote was specifically for hotels, small hotels and bed and breakfasts. It was on how to get more business for your hotel and how, obviously, to keep that business as well. So I wrote it jointly with a friend of mine, a lady called Lucy Whittington, and she was really the marketing side of it, and I wrote the bit that was all about building the relationship, and that's what I now focus on, because so much of the experience is down to the people.
Absolutely. No faulty towers then.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's my great example of how not to do it.
Absolutely. So then you moved on into doing what you're doing now. So hot tips, or what do you say to people, and also who are your customers? Who are the people that you go and talk to about this?
Well, my customers is small businesses who really value, what's really important to them is the care and attention that they give their customers, because they want to impress their customers and they care about the experience that their customers get. And if people don't get what I do, then I know that they're not a good customer for me, because I often get people say, oh, Caroline, I've just had an awful experience, you need to go into so-and-so. And I say, well, actually, if it's that bad, they probably don't value the experience that the customer gets, so they're not going to be people who are going to be want to embrace what I do.
So, and you're saying that you go through, you actually will approach any business now, you'll talk to any business?
Yeah, any business where the experience that their customer gets is important to them, and the perception that that customer's going to have on the value that they're going to get.
So that's like quite a wide variety.
It is.
From what to what? Can you give us some
examples? Well, for example, I have a couple of clients who are printing. I have an IT client, I have hotel clients, I have tourism clients. I am also talking to a couple of accountancy firms. So it is very varied. And if you think about all of those businesses, they all have a lot of competition. So they can be doing just that one thing, that little bit extra, wowing their customers that little bit more, they're going to stand out.
Sure. And so do you kind of go in and then have a look around and sort of get to know their businesses, and how do you actually work from sort of start to finish? Run me through a typical going into a new business.
Well, one of the key things that I focus on is looking at setting the expectations. What is the experience that they want their customers to have? What do they want their customers to feel as a result of doing business with them? So where we would start generally is defining their customer service values. Some businesses don't have any values. Some have things like mission statements, they have value statements, but they don't necessarily translate that into what that means for the customer, and therefore what are the types of behaviours that the owner and their team need to display in order to give their customer that experience or leave them feeling that way.
Can you give us a good example?
So an example might be is that they might say, well, we want all of our customers to, that, you know, we want to deliver good service. Good service means very different things to different people. So not only does it mean different things to your customers, but it might even mean different things to two people within your team. So how they then deal with that customer, same customer could deal with two different team members and get a very, very different experience. So there's no consistency. And if we think about, if one of the end results is that you want a customer to recommend you or you refer you to someone else, if they don't get that consistency, they're going to be very nervous about doing that. Because I say, well, one time I went there and it was great, another time I went there and it was okay. So I'm not sure that I would feel comfortable recommending them to somebody else. Whereas if it's consistently great, you're far more likely to do that.
Yes. I suppose we're all human, and every now and again human error is made, which can sometimes make for a bad experience. I know even just going into a shop and you might get a grumpy shopkeeper or something, and then they're just having a bad day or whatever, and afterwards you just think, oh, I'm not going back there again.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's things that are completely out of the business's control. You know, things do go wrong. And, you know, one of the things that I would work on is that when things do go wrong is that people have got not only the skills and the knowledge to deal with it, but also they've got the confidence to deal with difficult situations. It could be that the customer is in the wrong. It could be something that's nobody's fault to do with the weather or traffic jam, something like that. But they've then not only got the confidence to deal with it, but they've also got the authority to deal with it, because no customer wants to hear, oh no, I don't have the authority to do that, you have to wait and speak to my manager and he's not in till tomorrow.
Which happens a lot. Absolutely. And how do you, because for instance, do you give clients that sort of support in terms of how to deal with the difficult customer?
Yes, and it's probably sort of 50-50 split in terms of how I work with a business, because about 50% of what I do will be with the owner of the business and looking at their whole processes, what they're doing in terms of the experience that the customer gets. So we'll look at the customer journey end to end. We've talked about the customer service values. But we'll also look at some of the systems and processes that they have in place. But also, then the other 50% of the time, I will probably be working with the team, giving them the confidence to deliver everything that they need to be doing. So when they get a complaint, it might be a very rare occurrence, but when they do get it, that they feel confident to deal with it.
Yeah.
When they get that grumpy customer who has, for whatever reason, has just got out of the wrong side of the bed,
they then know how to deal with it,
and they don't take it personally and let it get to them, that they can do that and just get on with their day without it really meaning that they then have, that can sometimes have an impact on every other customer that they then deal with, and just dealing with it in a calm and confident way.
Well, I guess
approach.
It maybe if you're a youngster and you're lacking a little bit in self-confidence and you've got the grumpiest customer in the world that's just come in, because there do seem to be a lot of grumpy people out there, I have to say, it can be a terrifying experience for them, and also then the boss is saying the customer's always right.
Yes, yeah. And that actually brings us on to another point, Danny, is in terms of the owner or the manager of that business, how they are, because that definitely has a knock-on effect. And, you know, with the best will in the world, you can have the most fantastic team, but if the role model that they are following is bad-mouthing customers behind their back, or doesn't allow the team that little bit of license to do whatever is best for the customer.
Sure.
You know, there's too much red tape there.
Yes.
Then that's not a good thing from a customer point of view.
Will you be brave enough to tell your
clients? I will be brave enough to tell my clients
that. Say it how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not afraid to say it how it is, because if people don't recognise it, then they can't change. And
exactly. What
I won't do is go in and say this. One of my philosophies is that the owner of the business and the team have to take total ownership for what they do, because otherwise the minute I'm out the door, it's going to go back to how it was.
Sure.
And that is not a healthy position to be in, so that I don't want them to be hooked on me, dependent on me. I want businesses to be self-sufficient when I've gone.
I'm sorry to use the analogy, but it does remind me a little bit of that nanny program where the nanny goes in and sorts all the the difficult children out with the parents. So you're kind of in that situation where you're going in and giving them all the sort of support to do everything and make the changes. Do you go back a few months later and check?
I will. It depends on how we've set things up, but I like, yes, it's to review how it's going. I do a little bit of hand-holding, because some sometimes what you're trying to do is to just change people's habits for how they deal with things. And of course, habits don't change overnight.
No, of course not.
And sometimes people will try things and they say, actually, Caroline, that didn't work. We need to just look at something else. Or how do we really embed that with the team so that it's working like clockwork in the confines of our business? Because every business is going to be different. You know, your customers are different. The systems you've got in place are going to be different.
So out of your 21 top tips, can you give us some top tips?
Okay. One of my top tips is, for example, a lot of businesses have automation, and I'm a great fan of automation, but sometimes you have to actually step away from that automation, make that personal connection with your customers. Another tip is that people talk about going the extra mile, and I think there is a place for going the extra mile. So if things have gone wrong, if you've made a mistake, be brave enough to admit when you've made a mistake, because that helps to build trust. But I also advocate going the extra inch, so that you do little incremental things, because if you give everything, there's an expectation next time you're going to give everything. And so you do that two or three times, you, as a small business particularly, you wear yourself out. You've got nothing left to give. One of my pet things is what I call glue, and that's giving little unexpected extras. And that's about it is about giving, so not charging for every last thing, but it is something that's little, might not cost you anything, and it's unexpected. So it may be something that's very spontaneous, like you found out it's a customer's birthday, so you just do something, or you found out that their little boy is ill, so you give them something to take home, or it's to do with the weather. It's tipping it down with rain. You lend them an umbrella or a raincoat or something little like that that doesn't take a lot of effort.
No, but
doesn't take a lot of money, but it just shows that you care.
Absolutely, which is very, very important. Mm. That's lovely. Thank you so much for talking to us about this. That's very interesting. Okay. If people want to find out more, where would they do that?
The easiest way is to go to my website, which is www.naturallyloyal.com. And Danny, you mentioned my 21 ways, and on my homepage there is something there where they can download my 21 ways to wow your customers, and it's just 21 tips on things that you can be doing that just will give you that little bit of an edge. Not all of them will be relevant for every business, but I'm guaranteeing that you'll find at least three or four things in there that you think, actually, yeah, I could do that, and that would make a difference.
Very, very important, especially if you're even just beginning to think about setting up your own business as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Get some of those things in place right from the start.
Are you on Twitter and Facebook?
I am on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Caro J. Cooper on all of those, and I'm on LinkedIn as well as Caroline J. Cooper, just to confuse things. So, and there is a link on my website, so I'll just read out that website again. It's www.naturallyloyal.com.
Caroline Cooper, it's been really nice to speak to you. Thank you
very much
for coming into the studio.
Brooklyn's Radio.